Finally here, the end of football season as we know it, but that's okay. Something else will take place in our Saturday and Sunday afternoons. I would like if you will permit me this evening to take a verse of the scriptures out of context. Matthew 21 and verse 28. The Bible says here in this verse, "Son, go work today in my vineyards." Even though this verse is part of a parable speaking of repentance, that is not my lesson this evening. My lesson this evening, and I wanted to use this verse because in this verse, I wanted to apply the five W's. Who, what, where, when, and why. I feel this verse makes a definite application to all of us who have made the decision in our lives to serve God. And while the verse I pull out of context in order to accomplish my goal for this evening, it does stand to reason that my lesson this evening will be scriptural. When we look at who in these words here, we see that the who is the Son. When we read this parable, this father had two sons. I'm just interested in one. It is a command here that was not given indiscriminately. It was very specifically given by the father. This son here denotes a relationship with God the Father. Not everyone has obtained this relationship with God. John, when he was recording and writing down Jesus' ministry, he wrote in John chapter 1, and verses 12 through 13, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This call to labor, if you will, is sent out to everyone who came to Christ, or who will come to Christ. So here lies our divine relationship with God. In Romans 8, verse 14, Paul writes, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Whether we realize it or not, we were not called to be served, but we were called to serve. Just being a part of God's family is probably the greatest reason to serve. Now, what are we serving? What is it? What is the what? It is work. Now, there has to be some work to be done, or he wouldn't have called workers. If a plant opens up in town, they don't put out a call for people to hire as workers if there's no work to be done. So evidently here there must be work to be done. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul writes here, "Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." These words should be our dedication to his work. Not our work, but his work. And this is a personal matter. We have to make that choice. But as with anything that we seek to accomplish in life, the more we put into it, the more we get out of it. If you're planting a garden, if you just go ahead and hoe some rows and plant your plants and let the rain take care of everything, what are you going to get out of it? If you plant tomatoes, maybe one, maybe two. If you have my thumbs, maybe more weeds. But the more effort you put in, the more you benefit. In the Galatian letter, Paul in Galatians 6 and verse 4, he says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." I think we all want to be able to hear at that specific time, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But these words, this reward, only comes for those who work. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verses 9 and 10, Paul again writes, "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God." The life that we chose, and I don't think any of us here just on a whim decided to be a Christian. I think it came with a lot of thought and prayer and study. And this life that you've chosen provides a tremendous opportunity for work. Things may have been different if Adam and Eve hadn't done what they did in the garden. Things in this world would have been provided for us without any labor. Adam's job was to name animals. But up until that time in Genesis 3, he didn't till the ground. The trees already had fruit for them. Everything was provided. But after that great sin, we've had to work. And nowhere else in the Scriptures does it say that we can take a sabbatical, we can take a leave of absence. Once we have decided to devote our lives to Christ, it's for life. Then we're promised the rest after that. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. You know, God has never called anyone for a delayed service. When he calls, it is for today. The when. This message, this summons, calls for immediate action. 1974, October, I entered in what they called the Delayed Enlistment Program in the Air Force. This delayed enlistment allowed me to go ahead and make a commitment to enter the Air Force. But it gave me time for the job that I wanted, a space to be available, so that I wouldn't have gotten stuck in the dining hall or standing out there guarding airplanes with a gun in the freezing cold. It also gave me the opportunity, to my benefit, that when it come time for promotion, my date for promotions would have gone when I delayed enlisted instead of when I actually enlisted. There was a benefit there. But with God, there is no such thing as delayed enlistment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul, in verse 2, he writes, "For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation." You know, there are plenty out there who are waiting for tomorrow. They can't wait. Or they can wait. They want to try to put things off a little bit here and there. I procrastinate. I admit it. And Vicki will tell you, I will try to put it as far down the road as I possibly can. I always sometimes feel that I do my best work under pressure, but it's not always the case. But too many are waiting for tomorrow. But God is saying today, you can't wait. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus here, he said, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." You know, when we look at it in one way, every wasted moment is a forfeited opportunity. That opportunity never returns. Now, you know, we may think, well, you know, sometimes opportunities do come around. But we're not talking about sales on cars and furniture. We're talking about souls and an opportunity to change someone's life. Jesus even told his disciples in John 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night comes when no man can work." When that time comes, too late. We can't just hold our hand up and say, "Jesus, can you wait a minute? There's some folks that I've been wanting to talk to, and I just haven't given it the time." There has never been a more greater need for immediate action than today. Just look at the condition and the state that our community's in. Maybe your neighborhood. And heaven knows our nation. As saints, we hold within us the message of salvation. And it's something that the whole world needs. We can't just keep it to ourselves. Where does it need to be done? In the vineyard. Jesus is calling those outside the workforce to enter into the workforce. But in a sense, he's also saying those who are part of the workforce to get to work. There was a reason for this parable in Matthew 21. Other than repentance, it's for us to get to work. These sons were called to labor in the vineyard. One promised to labor and didn't show up. The other said, "No, I'm not going to work," and then repented and showed up. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's see here where the labor is remembered. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Our work of faith, our labor of love, and our patience of hope. These three things will not be remembered without Christ. Because it's performed in the wrong place. There's a lot of fuzzy thinking out there that has infiltrated the minds when men say, "Join the church of your choice," or "one church is as good as another," or "you can be saved outside of the church as well as in it." This is like that fuzzy math that I grew up with in high school that I could never grasp. It can't be done. When we look in the book of Acts in chapter 2, we love using that chapter to get the message across. How many churches or denominations were the multitude added to? There was only one church. There wasn't another one on the other side of the temple that they could go to. Jesus, that Peter said, well, you can go over there or you can go over there. It was one. And until such time as we can have folks understand that, then we're not working hard enough. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, we find in there that there is only one church and that Jesus is the head of it. Now, of course, Paul is speaking of marriage, but it's the same. We're married to the church. Why? Why do we have to labor for a promised reward? The work that has to be done is not easy. There will be many problems to overcome. It's not that much different than starting to do some manual labor for which you may not be used to. Let's say, for instance, I'll use me. I decided to go ahead and have a garden. And I get my shovel, and I get my hoe, and I get my rake, and I start tilling the ground. Now, you all know what the ground is like here. It's harder than bricks. And by the time, and of course, Vicki will tell you, I don't like working with gloves on. And so, you know, after about a few feet of dirt tilled, my hands are blistered. My back is hurting. My feet hurt. And I want to quit. But I know I have to get the garden in. We notice more than anything the sore back and the blisters. And we limp off into the showers and hoping it would make us feel better. But what happens as I continue to go out day in and day out and work in the garden and use the shovel? I start building calluses on my hands. I don't get the blisters anymore. My back is getting strengthened so it doesn't ache as much as I bend over. It's exercise. So what is the reward of the blisters and the sore back and the sore feet? It's watching those seeds that we were able to plant grow. And then we can enjoy them on our dinner table. Those who decide to work for the Lord starts much the same way. We have to start by overcoming our fears. These fears come in all kind of little packages. I don't know enough. I can't remember scriptures. I'm not comfortable talking to strangers. All these are fears. Brethren, we can't start planting seeds until we start tilling the ground. The best place to start to gain the confidence needed to get those seeds in the ground is right here. Right here in this auditorium. I know that our ladies don't have the same opportunities as the men. Many will walk out the doors if one of the ladies came up here to preach a sermon. And I'd be out the front with them. But there's still ways that we can grow. The ways that we can help cultivate the fields and plant the seeds. For our men, it may be accepting an opportunity to lead a prayer, to serve on the table, maybe even do a sermon. This spot's not reserved for me. It's open to anyone of our men who would love to present a sermon. This is the best place because we're in a room where we are loved, where we don't really have to impress people with a perfect delivery to be encouraged. How will we ever hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25 and 21. How can we expect to hear these words if we won't work? When the labor's over, Hebrews 4 and verse 9, he promises here, there remains therefore a rest of the God of the people of God. A rest, a peace. There won't be a need for blisters. There won't be a need to plant seeds, because that's the harvest. And we'll be taken with the harvest. There can be a tremendous confidence with everyone who labors, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, Paul telling the Colossians in Colossians 3 and verse 24, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And Paul even assured the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We all like to reason with ourselves that we have plenty of time. But there is a lot of work to be done. This is not Extreme Makeover Home Edition, to where we can go ahead and get things accomplished in a week, 7 days. It takes a lifetime. And it's not something that we can finish up when we open the doors, because there will still be work to be done. And we're not going to be doing it for our glory or to make the Malden Church of Christ something way up here above everyone else. But we want our community to know that the Malden Church of Christ stands and gives God the glory. That we are here just to serve Him. That we are just His people. I shouldn't say the word just, because it's more than just. We are His people. And that is truly special. Then in April, we've got a gospel meeting coming up. 3 days, a perfect opportunity to invite our friends or neighbors. We have a Ladies' Day that'll be coming up here sometime this spring. The ladies will be working on that. Another tremendous opportunity for the ladies to get involved. And trust me, they do a bang-up job. I am always impressed with the work that our ladies do. And then we have our Vacation Bible School that we're again going to try to accomplish again this summer. Bigger than last year. We're going to try to improve every year. And then we have our Fall Gospel Meeting. These are tremendous times to serve, but there's also a lot of time in between. A lot of time in order to be able to till some more ground. You just may want to start with your next door neighbor. Now, if you don't know them, maybe that's the first place to start. Maybe you don't get along with your neighbors. That happens too. But there's always ways around that too. That first shovel full of dirt might be a thinking of you card in their mailbox. We have to be ready to head out into the vineyard. We can't just say, okay, I'll go, and not show up. We can't. if there is anyone here this evening and need of the prayers of the congregation for whatever reason, make your life right with God to repair any damage that has been done in that relationship, we want to give you that opportunity. If you're not a child of God and you want to make that step, let us help you. We won't make you promises. We don't want you to rush up here and we throw you in the water for the sake of numbers. We want to talk. We want to make sure you understand what the true commitment means, because it is a commitment. It is not just a social club. It is a life forever, and not for a whim. If there is anyone that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?